New teams in the NASCAR Cup Series is exactly what we wanted, and I'd say it's exactly what we're getting. Another team announcement was made the other day, actually yesterday. Team Stange Racing is joining the NASCAR Cup Series on a part-time basis in 2022 and plans to expand for more in the season. The reason we know that? Well, the CEO of the team, John Stange Jr., joins the show, the Drivers Meeting Podcast, with us today. He's going to talk all about their team goals for the season, their past history being based out of Chicago, and the most interesting part is what made them join the NASCAR Cup Series and the partners that go along with it. So a lot of cool stuff dropped in the podcast here today, but wow, a new team in the NASCAR Cup Series. We'll get to it next. Shout-out to our sponsor, BetOnline, for sponsoring the show. The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You know the deal. A lot of stuff coming up. Hey, it's March. March Madness is coming up very soon. Make sure to get your bets in for that. You know everybody is going crazy when March comes around. March Madness is here. So, know a lot of stuff's going on with baseball, but we got the NBA still going on. Get your boxing odds in, the UFC. Everything in on BetOnline is the place to be, ladies and gentlemen. So get your bets in, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Head over to the website or use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV, that's BELIEVE, to get started. Not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, UFC odds, as I noted, from sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games the right way. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, man, who would have bet on a new team entry being announced the weekend after Las Vegas? Well, I certainly wouldn't, but it happened. Team Stange Racing is on the NASCAR circuit for 2022, and that's what this podcast episode is going to be dedicated to, because I had the privilege of talking to the CEO of the program, John Stange Jr. He joins the show, and hey, without further ado, let's get to the interview.
We never could expand to the Cup Series because it was too hard. With the steel bodies and with everything being in North Carolina, it was too hard to operate out of Chicago. And then this next-gen car made it so much easier for us. So,
Yeah, do you feel like when that kind of came along, was that kind of like the light bulb that went off, like we need to get into the Cup Series?
Well, you know what really did it, what's really kind of cool is, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you all good.
Okay, perfect, yeah. No, what's really unique about this whole deal is, this started out as an IndyCar program. So, I'm sure you looked us up a little bit and you saw that 2018-19 we moved the team into the IndyCar world. Mm-hmm. From the our NASCAR K&N stuff and doing a bunch of driver testing and development, because that's kind of what we did. You know, our last ARCA race was, I think it was John Gustafson was our driver, and that was in Greenville, Pickens. That was our last K&N race. I think that was in 17 or 16. Can't remember what year it was. But we were doing a lot of driver development work. We were doing a lot of testing. We were about an hour away from the Ileana Motor Speedway, and the team was doing more development work and testing more things, you know, testing some parts, testing drivers. We were doing that more for us as a business. And sponsorship was so hard back in those days, you know, so hard to try to sell a company on an ARCA program or a K&N program for two reasons. A, when they hear the word NASCAR, all the sponsors always want to be, well, we want to be in that series with Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon. Then you tell them, no, yeah, this is the development series. Then they lose all their hope. They lose all their interest. And ARCA, really being so far away from NASCAR, it doesn't even incorporate NASCAR in their name, which is really kind of foolish. It made that even impossible to sell. And K&N was a little bit easier because it was the NASCAR K&N series. So that made it easier to try to sell some stuff. But it was still hard. And, you know, during those times, you know, motorsport kind of got a little shaky back in the 15, 16, 17, 18 years. So we worked really hard in 2018 and put a deal together to go IndyCar racing. I'll tell you a funny story. We had a really nice program put together. My sister runs an agency called Game Day Gateway. And Game Day Gateway is really kind of a unique business. Game Day Gateway Naming Rights is their company. So they dealt with a lot of the big brands, you know, the Bacardis and the Budweisers and so forth. And they do a lot of big deals with the soccer leagues, the NFL, the NBA, MLB, all that stuff. And what was really unique was we got an introduction to one of the big liquor companies. And I would love to tell you the name, but I can't because of NDAs and all. We signed a deal in 2018, and in the fall, summer, fall 2018, to do a full-time Indy 500 deal for 19. And it was a business-to-business deal with a C-store, and they were going to carry their liquor. Well, the C-store market is really kind of interesting because not every convenience store sells liquor. So this was a big chain with 5,000, 6,000 stores. So it was great for this brand. Okay, we're going to put our liquor in, you know, 5,000 stores. And then the store came back and said, well, only 3,000 stores have a liquor license. Okay, we'll do 3,000. And then came back, the state laws changed. Now we're only down to 1,700 stores. And then before you knew it, there's only about 600 or 700 stores that can take liquor. And the company that was going to sponsor the program said, no, it just doesn't make sense for us. There's not enough volume there. It doesn't make good B2B sense anymore. So that deal blew up, and we were fortunate enough to put the deal together with MotoGator, which was a beautiful deal, beautiful program. MotoGator is a company that was new to the U.S., The best way to describe MotoGear is more of a investment type company. They invest in a lot of consumer brand products in the automotive world that you probably never even heard of. Companies like the new one that they were going to bring to market was Lucid Up, and they're invested in some electric motor companies for the little electric motors that you power vacuums and saws and all that kind of stuff. And they were going to do a really big push for some consumer brands. And their first product was going to be Lucid Up, which is a super lubricant, like a WD-40. And they bought that brand, and that was going to be their first brand they were going to launch. So the Indy 500 was kind of their getting their feet wet, and they loved it. They had a great time there. It was a great race. Things were perfect, and they said, "Okay, we're gearing up. We're going to do this." We put some retail deals together for them, and they were going to do a full-time program with us in 2020. And we had we were going to do it. We had a great partnership and technical partnership with Andretti on the IndyCar side. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be a really cool deal. And then 2020 happened, or COVID happened in 2020 and blew that program out of the water. And they backed out. They said, "We're not going to bring any products to the U.S. right now, or let alone anywhere, because of that." So the parent company of MotoGator kind of parked that deal. So we were kind of left scrambling again. And what I do, I'm involved in a handful of different things, different businesses. You know, one thing I do that I got involved with a few years ago is I broker very large crypto deals. So I'll broker, you know, really big Bitcoin deals. I'll deal with, you know, big families and you know, big family offices that know, spend a lot of money and buy Bitcoin or transform their cash position to crypto. Mm-hmm. And doing that, I was introduced to the people at Dignity Gold. And one thing led to another, and then another really good friend of mine and business partner of mine actually is an advisor for one of the gold mines that supplies them gold. So it's kind of really a neat situation. And we just started talking, and this was over a year ago or a year and a half ago. And I said, you know what you need? You need racing tied in with influencers. That'll get your name out there quicker than you know. Mm-hmm. I said, the auto racing community has a great fan base. It's fast, it's sexy, it's high performance, and that's what crypto is.
Yeah.
And we ended up with putting an agreement together last summer. I think it was in June of 21 we signed our contract, and it was a pretty big deal to go full-time IndyCar racing. And we were going to do about four or five races last year in the IndyCar series, but because Dignity Gold is a it's really a unique company. You gotta keep this in mind compared to other cryptos. They're a regulation-based company, mm-hmm. and they voluntarily do filings and register with the Security and Exchange. None of the other cryptos do that. So, because they're doing that, they're basically going to be the new model crypto, and they're going to look great in the eyes of the U.S. and the Securities and Exchange. So there's a process they have to follow, meaning they have to go on the Asian exchange, they have to go on the global exchange, and it's part of the filing process for trade in the USA. So last summer, they were nowhere near doing that. Now they've just completed phase two, and they're about 2 months away from having that completed and being able to be put on the U.S. platforms and exchanges, so anybody can buy and sell and do all their stuff. So right now, if you're a foreign investor, you can go on BigGlobal.com or CryptoSX and buy and trade Dignity Gold on their DigAU coin on those markets. But in two to 3 months from now, you'll be able to go on Coinbase, Gemini, Genesis, and be able to buy and sell that coin all day long. So with all that said, we're gearing up to do the IndyCar series this year, and we ran into an engine situation where we couldn't get motors. The supply chain has, as you know, the effects that it's had on NASCAR has been so bad that it's really affected General Motors and Honda. So we couldn't even get motors. So we were kind of in a crazy position where, like, oh shit, what do we do now? We've got this great partnership, and I call it a partnership, not a sponsorship, because it's a partnership.
Yeah.
They're partnered with us, and it's a big deal. It's a, you know, 5-year deal with options, so it's pretty big. What do? We've got this great partnership. We're doing some things international, which I'll tell you about shortly, and we can't race in the USA because we can't get engines. What do now? So it just happened to be the weekend that the Los Angeles Coliseum race was on TV. Mm-hmm. And CEO of Dignity Gold called me up. He said, hey, are you watching this NASCAR race on TV? I said, no. I said, you're talking about the exhibition race? He says, yeah. He said, I don't know what kind of race it is, but it's effing awesome. They're racing at the UCLA football field. This is so cool. So he said, how do we, with all these engine problems, is it possible to make the switch to NASCAR? I kind of laughed at it for a minute, but then I said, well, it's something to look into. We can definitely look into it. So I thought to myself, how in the world are we going to do this? So, and I really wasn't too familiar with the next-gen car because it really wasn't it really wasn't my focus, or I didn't even really care because I was so focused in what we were doing in IndyCar and what we were doing internationally that I really wasn't really paying too close attention to what NASCAR was doing with this car and all that other stuff. I knew Dallara designed it and they were having it built in Michigan, but that's really all I knew about it. And I thought it was a gorgeous looking car when I saw some of the pictures. I thought, man, this is gorgeous. So I decided, I said, okay, I'll look into this. So my first call was Jeff Clark over at Roush Yates, and I knew Jeff from the old ARCA days. I said, hey, Jeff, I have one question for you before I get into anything else. If I run some cup races this year, can I get my hands on an engine? Or is this just like IndyCar where there's no way? He said, no, we can get you an engine. But he said, things have really changed in NASCAR since you've last competed. You just can't show up and do one-offs. With this next-gen car, you have to go through this whole process and all this crazy stuff. And I said, okay, well, that's good to know. So my first call then was to Megan Miley at NASCAR, who's absolutely wonderful. And then she hooked me up with Tom Swindell and the whole team over there, and you know, Sharon and Dale and all those guys, and Brad Moran and the whole crew. And they have done nothing but go out of their way to help us. They are fantastic. So that was great for us. That was very impressive on that level. And then you take the ratings of what the LA Coliseum race did and the new fan base that it brought to the table. And then you take the Daytona 500 and their numbers and all the past few races with their numbers. And it's like, man, NASCAR's on a swing back. And I called a couple friends of mine in racing who are pretty well invested in NASCAR, some big names. I said, hey, making the switch here, is it worth the loss that I'm gonna take, you know, to switch things up and kind of purchase all kinds of new equipment? Is it worth it? Do you think NASCAR's really in the upswing, or is this just a phase? And I said, no, it's NASCAR's back. NASCAR is back. And you know, I'm looking at this next-gen car, and I'm talking to, you know, my performance director, and I'm like, wow, this car just is so cool. It's so awesome. It's such a great car. I mean, it's a real race car. You know, you can honestly look at this thing and say, you know what? It's not a box of sheet metal. This is a real race car. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool and so awesome. NASCAR did a fantastic job with it. It's an awesome job. And we saw that, and we saw the next gen, you know, becoming much more easy to work with. And I'm like, hey, we could do this out of Chicago. We can easily do this out of Chicago. We don't have to be in North Carolina. You know, it has the flange fit, whatever they call it, bodies, you know, composite bodies. You wreck something, you don't have to go back to North Carolina and have sheet metal work done, body work done. You know, it's just swap the pieces out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just a great car, and just made it really interesting for us. So our plan was this year to run 8 races, and NASCAR next year do maybe 15 or 20, then year 3 go full time. But because of the next gen car, we're able to advance everything, where if everything goes well this year, it's very possible we can go full time in 23 next year.
Yeah.
So it's really, really cool. It's very exciting. I'm very excited about it. You know, the people on NASCAR are just amazing. You know, they're just so nice. They're so helpful, and they're, you know, I honestly, they're the same at IndyCar too. You can't complain. IndyCar is, I mean, they're fantastic people too. So we're very, you know, that's the one thing about the United States. We're very fortunate. We have some really, really, really good racing series here.
Yeah.
With IndyCar, NASCAR, the sports car, IMSA stuff. We're very, very fortunate. We have some really good racing here. So we're excited about that part of it. And now the fun part, you probably want to hear about Tarso a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Am I doing this right, or are you? Are we doing a live show, or do you want? Am I just talking too much? If I am, just
no. It's perfect. It's, yeah, we do this. You know, it's a podcast, and we sit here and talk. Usually, I have Tommy Joe with me, who's a driver in the Xfinity series, and we, you know, we go back and forth. We'll have a guest on. It's just conversation. So this is perfect.
Oh, cool. Are we on the podcast now?
Yeah, this will be going on the. It's okay. Not live, but it'll go up in like okay. An hour or so. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Cool. So you know, now getting with Tarso, great guy, great person, and, you know, I consider him a good friend, and, Tarso and I were working on a project, we still are working on a exotic car, hypercar project right now, and, he knew I was putting together this IndyCar program with Dignity, and I'm looking at his social media, and I'm looking at all the stuff he's doing, and I'm like, man, Tarso, for a guy who hasn't raced in a couple of years, you're a media monster over here in Brazil. I mean, you're doing fantastic. I mean, you've got 1.2 million Instagram followers. I mean, think about that for a minute. 1.2 million. NASCAR is 1.5 million. Yeah. Tarso at one time had about 1.5, 1.6. He was actually had more than NASCAR, and then he dropped back some because he wasn't keeping up on it. Now he's back to keeping up on it full time, and he's 1.2 million. But that's a huge number of followers. And the reason he has so many is because over in Brazil he's a celebrity. He's on TV shows. He has his own TV show. He's got a very big business over there, a very well-known business called TMC Concepts, where he designs cars and he designs houses and airplanes, boats and yachts and architecture. He's got a very big design studio. He's very, very good at what he does. And, you know, they do amazing motorcycle works. He's won the motorcycle stuff, I think, 6 years in a row, I think it was, here in Daytona at Bike Weeks. So he just worked very, very hard on his celebrity basis over there. He's very well known. And if you can believe this or not, he's actually a bigger name in Brazil than Helio and Tony Kanaan. Tony Kanaan and Helio, they're only well known here in America because of what they've done here. But in Brazil, Tarso's a bigger name. Isn't that something? Yeah. Think about that. So I look at this and I'm like, okay, Tarso, you're a media machine. I said, Do you want to come back and run my race in my IndyCar program? And he laughed. And I said, listen, I said, my sponsor is very unique. It's not an oil company. It's not a cigarette. It's not a tire company. It's a cryptocurrency company that needs influencers. It needs followers. It needs media. It needs media, 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 media. It screams media. It screams influencers. And that's what you do. And these other drivers I'm talking to, I mean, they're great people. They're great drivers, but that's not really what I need at the time. I need the reach. I need the outreach.
Yeah.
And I looked at Tarso and I said, Tarso, this is the best of both worlds. I said, number one, you're a fantastic driver. And you know, I have a lot of faith in you as a driver, and you're a media machine. I need you. Do me a favor. He says, okay. So about 2 or 3 weeks later, I said, we're right in the middle of about three different projects. We got some interesting stuff going on. We got this car thing. We got another really surprise that I think is going to be pretty big news in the next few months, and working on some motorcycle stuff. And I said, let's talk about IndyCar. He said, wait a minute, you're serious? You're not kidding about all that? I said, no, I'm serious. Let's get the contract done. He said, oh, my God, I thought you were teasing this whole time. I said, no. So I said, we're going to get you out of retirement, and we're going to get Depends to be your sponsor. He said, who? I said, Depends, you know, the diaper, the adult diaper company. so he laughed at that. So I said, no, let's do this. So we're going to run you know, two cars in the IndyCar series this year, Tarso full time, and we had another driver from Italy, a really, really amazing talent out of Italy, for 13 races, and he may do something with us on the NASCAR side this year too, just to keep him preserved so we can put him back in Indy next year. But anyway, so that was the plan. That's how we got Tarso to come back, and we do our deal. And when you're starting a new team, you need a guy like Tarso. You need a guy like him. You need a guy like him that A, knows engineering, knows motorsports. He's polite. He's a gentleman. He's a team player.
Yeah.
And my biggest thing in racing, and you may not want to hear this, and I'm probably gonna get in trouble for saying this, is the weakest link in a chain in racing has always been a driver. Drivers are always the toughest thing to deal with, and I'm sorry if other drivers out there hear me and they get mad at me, but it's unfortunately it's just the way it goes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very seldom that you can work with a driver that can give you what you need and not be selfish and actually put the team as their priority. A lot of these drivers are, and I'm not talking for everybody, so please, I want to clarify. I'm not saying every driver is like this, but some drivers are like this. They're very selfish. They think about themselves first. They don't care about the team. They're very sneaky. They're very concerned with the sponsor. You know, how are we going to steal the sponsor away from you? And I didn't need that going into a new undertaking like I was doing in IndyCar. I didn't need that. I needed a guy like a Tarso that would be a friend and somebody that would work with me and go through the ups and the downs. And any other driver would have ran for the hills when we had this engine problem. Tarso was like, no, we're in this together. How do we figure this out?
Yeah.
How do we figure this out together and get to the end? And I love that about Tarso. And taking on this NASCAR thing I'm doing with NASCAR, I mean, this isn't easy. I mean, this isn't easy at all. And you got to protect your sponsor. You got to protect your people, your team, your other partners. You want a driver that's not going to give you a headache, but be there for you and be a support, support blanket. I remember in the past, I mean, I couldn't stand dealing with my drivers in the past. I had a couple in the past that were wonderful, but I had a handful that were just total pain in the asses. I never wanted to deal with them. They were just, just terrible. I mean, it was all about them, and that's not how you build a team. You build a team with teamwork, and you have to have that. You have to have a good group of people, and which I'm very fortunate I have, and you have to have good partners, which I'm very fortunate I have, but you have to have the drivers that are there with you too, that are with you through thick and thin, and that's what we have with Tarso. So I'm very, very happy with that. And I'm honored that he's hanging in there with me to do this. So, I mean, he knows our goal. He knows what we're trying to do. He knows, that we're building something, we have the plans to build something big here. And he's part of the concrete that's the foundation of this team. So we're very fortunate for that. I'm very fortunate for that.
Yeah.
This is definitely a blessing from God. God makes things happen in mysterious ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I truly feel that this NASCAR thing is really going to be the way to go. It's just the way it presented itself, the way everything worked out. I truly believe it was the powers of God and just making it go the way it did, putting us in NASCAR like it did, and so forth. I still hope that we can still find our way back to Indy this year. I mean, that's still our goal. We still, a little luck and a little help from above will be in that race this year. If not, definitely plan on being there next year. But
it's fun. Yeah, and it's all people. I mean, that's really cool. I think you know, everybody.
It's all people.
Everybody knows, and you know, in motorsports, it's so, you know, especially now more than ever, it's so, you know, people driven, company driven, you know, sponsor driven, and to have like you said, it's not a sponsorship, it's a partnership between, you know, what you guys are doing over there. So how, you know, just you know, in a summary, what does it really mean to build that partnership and to be able to do things like this? Like, hey, you're going, you know, NASCAR Cup Series racing, you could go IndyCar racing, you know, and the partnership's like a huge factor in that.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. These to make all this happen, these are all partnerships and relationships that I have developed through my whole business career that goes back, you know, 30 some years. I mean, it's this wouldn't be possible without all those relationships. There's pieces of this whole puzzle that have to do with this, 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 and it just, you know, compliments everyone, and it's just compliments everyone and everything. And so it's really all relationships. I mean, you know, a lot of people think, hey, you want to go racing, it's just who can write the biggest check. No, you want to go racing, you need great relationships, you need great people, and you need a great driver that's going to work with you and not against you. That's the main thing. And I'm very fortunate, you know, to have Tarso in this project. And just like Indy in 19, I was very fortunate to have Oriol Servia. You know, Oriol was a godsend, you know, back in Indy in 19, and we'll get back there with him again. But you know, I'm very lucky with especially these two guys. But that's what it takes. That's what you need, and that's what it takes to build a successful program. And you need good people around you. You know, we have an amazing commercial department, which, you know, is very important. I really haven't talked much about that. I haven't been able, you know, any of us really haven't been able to talk about that. But we have. I bet you, I can come back on your show in August. And I bet you I can tell you that we have the best commercial department in all of motorsports in the U.S. My commercial department is headed up by a gentleman by the name of John Viola. John Viola comes from the sports world, the NBA, NHL. Mm-hmm. He was a vice president at the Chicago Bulls. He was the head revenue generator at the Mighty Ducks in Anaheim, and the guy knows sports marketing. He knows how to make money, and he knows how to be creative, and he's got some great people around him as well that we're implementing into some of our deals and some of the things we're doing. We've got some really cool things happening. We're really targeting some unique markets right now too. So yeah, I think you're going to see some really cool things. I mean, we're really going to be creative. We're really going to think outside the box, and we really have some really, really fun stuff that we're going to be doing. And like I said, I bet you we come back here in August and I bet you you'll be like, wow, we never thought of that, or we never thought of that. That's really cool. And you know, it's great people. Great people. And, you know, John is fantastic, and he's one of the best, and I'm very, very lucky to have him too. And so that's pretty exciting. So this is what you need. These are the building blocks you need to build to build a successful team. You know, we're not, like I said, we're not here just to do 8 races. You know, we're here to do some cool things and some big things. And I look forward to showing you, like I said, in August, what we did. You know, look at the commercial department, look at the performance department, look at our social media. The biggest mistake that I've made in racing, in my time in racing, is I've never have, and it's my fault. I'm the only one to blame. I've never taken social media real serious, you know? Yeah. And I've always, I'm not a techie. I'm a little behind when it comes to technology and all that. And my kids are little geniuses and stuff. And with when it comes to all that stuff, and I never took the social media stuff real serious. And my ex-wife, she would tell me for years, we got to get more involved with this. We got to get more involved with that. And I said, no, that's not important. That's not important. I mean, that was the one piece of advice I wish I would have listened to her on. Yeah. So, we've really invested now. We have a great guy heads up all our media and our social media and digital media. His name is Adam Fluck, who's the guy's amazing. I mean, I can't say enough about him. He's amazing. He's another one. We're doing some really cool things, and some really cool promotions. I think our numbers yesterday, I was told this morning, our numbers yesterday, just on some of the platforms, we had terrible numbers. Like, I'm talking embarrassing numbers. Like, I should be embarrassed to tell you what our numbers were. And I guess in the last day or two, they've doubled, tripled. So, hopefully they're going to just continue to keep going up and up and up. But, yeah, it's really cool. You know, we've got some cool things we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing some things, enter drawings to win some really cool merchandise. And we've got some, I saw today, some of the hats they had made. I mean, just really cool stuff. Win some of that stuff. Have dinner with the drivers. Trips to races. We'll give you packages of Dignity Gold, $1,000 Dignity Gold if you're the, whatever their promotion is. And then, so that's really kind of cool. And I mean, I'm telling you, we had the dream team. I honestly can tell you, we have the dream team in this program, and it's really kind of cool. And it's definitely the team you need to get it, to get something like this built, and off the ground.
Yeah,
so I'm
sure.
Very pleased.
And I like the schedule that you guys have.
Without the right people. You like what?
The schedule, the race schedule. I mean, you know how you noted, 8 races this year, and then obviously you got your good selection of road courses, and then the ovals, and then running Daytona too. You think that's, when you were, kind of picking out the schedule, what you guys wanted to run, was that kind of in mind, just kind of wanting to get a mix of like all the different types of tracks?
Yes, absolutely. We wanted a mix, because basically what I wanted to do is prepare Tarsal for 23.
Yeah.
Give them a taste of road course, short track, and the big tracks. And our original schedule was even better than that. But because of the approval process, we had to cut some things out and do some different things. But I think it's going to give him a good taste of what next year is going to do, which is really kind of cool. Now, another thing that we haven't talked about, and you'll see in the news probably tomorrow, is we have a, and this is a deal we put together over the winter before we even thought of NASCAR. Well, we set up a team in Brazil to run the GT Sprint Series, which is the stock car series of Brazil. Mm-hmm. The cars are very similar to the next gen cars. A little more advanced. Tarso actually developed the car, designed the car, and tested the car. So he's been out there. He has more miles on these stock cars than probably the drivers today have, just because of all the testing and development he's done. So I'm not concerned at all about him getting approved for anything. I'm actually more worried about him running the truck race, because and nothing to do with his skill, but I just don't want to, the next gen car is a real race car, and he's used to a car like that, but the trucks, I don't know if he's used to the trucks. So that's going to be his first test race, and hopefully he'll be able to to get that around the track with no problem.
Oh yeah, it can get wild in there in the truck series. That's for sure. They
get
a little riled up sometimes. I think it's the first.
Oh yeah.
First time they're heading to Sonoma, because that's where he's making a start, right?
Yeah, he's going to run a truck race in Sonoma, get approved in Sonoma, God willing, and so forth. He'll be approved, and he'll be in Road America. I think it's the next weekend, right?
Yeah,
running the
believe
Cup
the
series.
Yeah, the next or the weekend right after. Yeah, 2 weeks after.
Yep. So that's that'd be really fun, you know. The approval process in NASCAR is very tough. You know, it's there's some rules and regulations, and I'm happy. I mean, it's one of the best series in the world, so you don't want it to be that easy.
Yeah.
Where anybody can just get into. So I compliment guys like Brett Bodine and the series directors for, you know, keeping everything safe, you know, most importantly safe, but also a little bit challenging, where, you know, the real wealthy guy can't just write a check and jump in a car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I like that a lot. I like that a lot. That's really impressive. Yeah. So we're going to respect it, the rules, and I just hope we have a great day out there in the trucks, and like I said, God willing, and I just hope Tarso impresses Brett as much as he impressed me. So
yeah.
But I'm gonna roll the dice. I honestly and truly am not worried at all. That's how much faith I have in Tarso.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any concern over that. I'm more worried about parts. You know?
Yeah.
I'm more worried about what's going on in Russia. Is that going to screw up our parts? I'm more worried about the gas prices. You know, is our transportation costs going to double? You know, that's kind of where that's more of my concerns than if Tarso is going to be approved to run a race. That's how much faith I have in him.
More of the logistics. More of the logistics for sure.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yep.
Yeah, but I think that's really cool. You guys, being in Chicago, and if you just want to note on that a little bit, I mean, basing yourself from Illinois, and kind of like you had said earlier, we don't have to do this from North Carolina, and now doing it from where you guys are doing it. I mean, you know, kind of in your own realm. I mean, how cool is that?
You know, it's really kind of interesting, and I'll talk about this for a minute. So, we were always based in Chicago, and. When we first got into when I bought Larry Clements' racing team back in 11 or 12, whatever year that was, that's when Matt Carter was driving for the team.
Mm-hmm.
The team was down in Denver, North Carolina by Travis Carter. And Larry said to me, do you want to keep it down here? And I thought about it. I said, that's not a bad idea. We'll keep the team down there, and all the people are down there. And I remember one thing that Dale Coyne told me. I was in Dale Coyne's office in Chicago once, and we were talking about Carl Haas and Bernie Haas, his wife, and an old team manager that was at Newman Haas by the name of Brian Lyle. And Dale said, I ran into Brian at the airport, and we were talking, and I said, Dale, why don't they just move the team to Indy? And he said, Brian told me, he said, Carl never wanted to move the team to Indy because he was afraid he would lose it. He would lose control. It wouldn't be his team anymore.
Yeah.
And I never really understood what he meant until I got into the business. And that year, when you're the guy 1,100 miles away or 1,200 miles away, you lose respect. They have no respect for you. They don't care about you. They just give us our paycheck. Buy all the parts we need. Let's steal whatever we can out of here to go run our late models. And I knew that it couldn't. I knew I had to have it in my own backyard, and I wasn't going to move. So I said, "No, Larry." I said, "I'm going to move this thing to Chicago." And by the way, I want to clarify. I just am telling you what I was told. Nobody stole or anything like that. You know, I'm not saying anybody down there stole anything. I'm just saying this is the fear that I had from what other teams told me. When the team was down there being run by Travis and Matt Carter was racing for it, when Larry had it, it was a great time. I mean, Travis was the best in the business. I mean, he was one of the most honorable men you'll ever meet. So I just want to clarify that. I wasn't, saying anything like that. I just knew if I wasn't there, these team members that you don't know, they don't respect you or care about you or anything else. So fast forward to moving into Chicago, I could see easily how that could be. But anyway, so I got lucky. Was able to hook up with a gentleman by the name of Dave Weltmeyer, who's a famous short track racer in the Midwest. He raced with Mark Martin and Rusty Wallace and Dick Trickle and all those guys in the Artco series and the short track series. So I convinced him to come on board, and he was a godsend to me. He's another one. I mean, he's involved now. He's running. He's going to head up all the performance on this NASCAR deal. But I mean, he's another one. You have people like that you can trust, and you can. I'll tell you this: I've been involved in several businesses, and I still am involved in several businesses in my life. The best guy that ever has worked for me is Dave Weltmeyer. He just gets it done. He gets it done. He's the type of guy he just gets everything done. And I wish I could duplicate him. I wish I can, I can make 100 of them. He's fantastic. But anyway, I was able to hook up with him. We built this deal in Chicago. We ran our K&N, our ARCA. We did all our driver development, testing stuff out of there, part testing, and some other stuff out of there. And like I said, it's really cool to be here, to be in Chicago. And I had a meeting one day with a good friend of mine from NASCAR, Peter Landman. He came up to Chicago to see me. We were working on a deal to bring a company to NASCAR as a sponsor to NASCAR. And he's in my shop, and he says, "You need to put a sign outside, Chicago's only NASCAR-based team."
Yeah.
And I put that in my head. I'm like, wow, that's cool. That's cool to think about that. So it's a great marketing tool now. Mm-hmm. As of right now, knock on wood, there's no other NASCAR team here. So we can honestly say, hey, we're the only NASCAR team based in Chicago. It's a great marketing tool. And if NASCAR is successful with the street race they want to do in Chicago, that's going to be even awesome. Even better for us. We'll party there like it's 1999 again.
Yeah.
It'll be huge. I mean, we'll have so many partners and people that want to jump on board. I honestly get probably two calls a day. And this has been going on for a few months. Hey, what's going on with that race in Chicago?
Yeah.
And I was very doubtful because back in 2011, I put together a group to try to bring an IndyCar race to Chicago. And before I even got to the promoter part, of going to somebody to promote it, I was shot down by the mayor's office. So don't even think about it. And I mean, I had some of the best lobbyists and some of the best political power in Illinois, and they mm-hmm. couldn't even pull it off.
Wow.
And so with this NASCAR thing happening, I don't know. I don't even want to ask. I don't know how it's getting done, but I hear it's pretty close to getting finalized. So if that's the case, that is awesome. I'm so excited. I mean, that would be like Christmas every day for me to have that, because there's so much we can do. I mean, I can just from other businesses I'm involved in, I can incorporate all that and all into the race and the race team and the promotional stuff and the celebrity circles that I'm affiliated with in Chicago. It would be huge. I would probably, and this is funny, and I mean this when I tell you this, in a street race in Chicago, I bet you I'd run 5 cars there. And I'm not trying to sound silly. I'm not trying to sound stupid. I probably would enter 5 cars in that race.
Wow.
That's how big of a race that would be. That would be so cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah, I keep hearing about it. I mean, they've been pushing it real hard for a while. I mean, that's the thing. That's a rumor that's been going on for like 2 years now. And they're still trying it. And I think, I don't know how close they are to in the finalizing processes, but I know they had already built a virtual track last year to test it out and see how it would work. And now they're continuing to push it. And I know for me, I know it wasn't in Chicago, but the Joliet Speedway, seeing that go away, it was sad for a lot of NASCAR fans and me. I went there a lot as a kid, but if they brought a street race to Chicago, I mean, that'd be awesome for everybody.
You know what? The Joliet race was a beautiful track, beautiful area, beautiful race. It was a great place. But the problem with it is if you're trying to hit the Chicago market.
Yeah.
you don't, you're too far. You're
yeah,
too far from
it's too
Chicago.
Far away.
You're way too far. And it's very hard to promote. Back in 2000, I don't know if you know this or not, but back in 2000, I was the first person in, to ever be able to do this. You know, I did this before Dale Earnhardt Jr. did it, before Danica, before Eddie Cheever. I was the first person to convince the city of Chicago to shut down Michigan Avenue and run an IndyCar down the street. I did it December 3rd, 2000.
Wow.
With Dick Simon Racing. I was working with Dick Simon Racing at the time. I convinced the city of Chicago, we shut down the street to run the car, and we were only doing that to promote the brand new Chicagoland Speedway with the upcoming IndyCar race.
Yeah.
The first race ever. And we did that, and I remember December 3rd. It was so cold. It was so cold. Would you believe this?
Yeah.
The car wouldn't even start. We got more publicity from all the news seeing this car not start. Because it got so cold the night before, we should have left the transporter on to keep everything warm, but it wouldn't start. So we ended up towing the car down the street with a Chicago police truck, and we had a big press release afterward at the ESPN Center, the ESPN Zone. But it was huge news. It was great.
Wow.
So it was a lot of fun, but that was when we were promoting the first race in Chicago. So the point of my story is, I thought, hey, this is going to be great. I'll be able to put a lot of deals together for this race. And I kept getting the door shut on me. They said, no, it's too far. It's too far. It's too far. It says, Joliet, it's an hour away. It's too far. Too far. If you were in the city, we'd be all over it. But they had two complaints. One, IndyCar was a little bit of a mess back then because it was 2000, 5 years after the split. And two, it was too far. A lot of the companies, a lot of the big brass that I talked to in Chicago, it was out of their market.
Yeah.
Basically, it doesn't really do anything for us. We'd rather spend, you know, $1 million and go to the, you know, the U.S. Open in, you know, 15-minute ride outside of the city and entertain our clients there. Or, you know, we'd rather take this money and spend it in Indianapolis for the 500. Or, you know, we'd rather go to, you know, do baseball and football. So it was a struggle. So, yeah, with that race on the city streets, yeah, it would be... That would be amazing.
Wow.
That would be, like I said, that would be Christmas every day for me.
Yeah, that'd be awesome, man. Well, I'm excited. I mean, when I saw the news and everything yesterday, I mean, I'm excited. We're always open arms to any new team coming along. But you know, just hearing about everything that the stories behind and everything, I'm even more excited now. I mean, to see y'all on track. I mean, that's awesome. And being from Chicago, that just it's personal for me, so I'm loving it. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on the racetrack.
Now tell me now, I heard you said in the beginning, you said you have family in LaGrange, Illinois, but are you from Chicago?
So all of my family, except for me, I was born in Tampa, but right after my parents moved. But basically my parents, everybody else, it was born in Chicago or, the Oak Lawn, Oak Forest area?
Yeah. Yep.
That's where a lot of them are. A few of them in LaGrange, and a few of them live closer to more of the city. They're all kind of scattered around, but it's really nice going up there and visiting. So we don't hopefully a street course soon that I can go and visit. But man, I know I go up there a lot to see family, so I'll have to come maybe check you guys out sometime.
Oh, absolutely, we're definitely, if we had that race up here, we're definitely going to do something really cool and we think we're going to make it. I was just approached 2 weeks ago Saturday. My brother is one of the biggest franchisees of a big restaurant chain up here. My brother Jason, and he's tied in with some big real estate people. And I was approached a couple weeks ago by one of these real estate guys. I said, "Hey." Out by DeKalb, Illinois, by the university out here, Northern Illinois, I think it is. We want to build a campus. We want to build like a racing campus where the students can come over here and be trained and so forth. Would you have any interest in being part of that, building a shop here? And so that's something we're looking into right now. We're looking into building like maybe a miniature North Carolina up here. So
yeah,
that could be interesting. Hmm. I'd love to try to get some of the suppliers up here as a hub, as a as a satellite. You know, I know a lot of them aren't going to leave North Carolina, but
yeah,
if we can build like a little campus and get some of the big suppliers up here, I think that would be awesome. You have to remember, short track racing is huge in the Midwest. Absolutely mm-hmm. huge. Huge.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
So, yeah, so there's a big hub right up here in Chicago. But
sweet.
A lot of ideas. You know, it's a lot of ideas, and, you know, it's there's a lot of potential, let's put it that way, you know. You know, it's going to take a lot of work to put a lot of these ideas into motion, but the cool thing is they're there.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, that all came because of the NASCAR deal. That came. Heard you. You know, I was approached. Hey, you're doing NASCAR. This is what we want to do.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting. Yeah. That could be interesting.
That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. Really cool, man. Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you coming on here and talking to me. I mean, this is really cool. I mean, this whole deal, I'm really excited about it. And I wish you guys best of luck, because it'll come soon enough for sure when you guys are making your first start in the truck series. I'm sure all that'll go well, the approval process, even though truck series is crazy. Oh, yeah. So, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you a secret. I shouldn't say this, but I think the truck series is my favorite series.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the racing is exciting. It's so cool.
You never know what to expect watching it. It's just.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so fun to watch. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But no, you know, RJ, I want to thank you for your time and your support. You know, without people like you, you know, spreading the word, you know, we don't have a sport. So, you know, I appreciate everything that you do and a lot of the other people in media do. So, anything we can do to help support you, let us know. Just keep it coming. Yeah. Keep it coming, whatever we can do. We're, like I said, we got some cool social media things that are going on. I know you talked to Adam earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep in touch with Adam and whatever we can do to help you and, you know, help your show, grow your show. Maybe we can, you know, get some of the other guys on the show. Maybe get Dave Weltmeyer on the show, get Tarso on the show. I think an interesting show for you would be to get John Viola on the show, who heads up my commercial stuff, just to talk about the background of auto racing that a lot of people don't know about, you know, what mm-hmm. it really takes, to get the sponsor, to put in proposals, to build these special things that these sponsors need, just to convince them to do this. I think that's that can make a really cool show for you, just to show a different side of auto racing.
That's awesome. And John Stange, thank you for coming on the show today. I mean, incredible to have you on here today. I mean, just one day removed from the big announcement. So really cool to have John Stange Jr. on the show today. And for everybody watching the show at home, or if they're driving or listening, wherever, you may be watching the Drivers Meeting podcast. We're back in business. Hope to be getting this show back out weekly with some awesome guests. And it starts today with John Stange Jr., CEO of Stange Racing. So really cool to have him on the show today. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to you all to Bet Online. Thanks to the Bleav Podcasting Network. Thanks to everybody that tunes into the show. We'll see you all next week.